good promo for the Singspiration coming up soon. Tonight we're going to talk about In the Middle. If you guys got your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll be there in just a few moments. But anybody ever played Monkey in the Middle before? Nobody? Okay, we got two people. Two people, okay. So Monkey in the Middle, what do you got? The goal is to what? Keep it out of the middle, right? Oh yeah, we got one more. Yeah. So in Monkey in the Middle, you got person on one side, person on the other side, and you're trying to keep it away from the guy in the middle, right? That's the whole point of In the Middle. But we're going to talk about the opposite of that tonight. We're not going to be talking about Monkey in the Middle. We're going to be talking about being in the middle between one person and God. Talking about a relationship with God. And so we're going to create an opportunity. We want to create opportunities to have discussions. We have opportunities to create conversations with people that are going to lead them to deepen their faith in the walk with their Savior. That's what my goal is in this message, that we can help create opportunities and conversations that's going to lead to eternity decisions. But if you guys consider your spiritual ancestry, anybody know, remember, maybe it's been years ago, that who brought you to the Lord? Raise your hand if you remember that person. Who brought you to the Lord? Yeah, great. So if you've made that choice to become a Christian, somebody had to talk to you, right? Whether it's at one time or whether it was years of training or years of encouragement. Many people, and maybe it was a group of people. But I remember, for me personally, it was my mom and dad. They brought me to church. They drug me to church, right? But they also loved me enough to bring me, right, to be a part of the family of God. And it was a personal choice I made. But it was through intentional conversations that that happened. And it was because of their faith that led me to the faith in the Lord. But it was my personal choice. And that's what every person here tonight, every person you're going to come into contact, has a personal decision to make. Right? Every one of us has that decision. Whether we're going to follow the Lord or whether we're not. Right? Every one of us has that choice. Right? Don't we? You guys can shake your heads and agree with me, yeah. Everybody has that choice, right? If you're Aaron Davis, do your thing right here, just like this, right? Yes, you can agree, because everyone has that personal choice to make, to follow the Lord or not. Every person has an individual choice. We have choices to make in this life, but it's up to us to spark that conversation and get that ball rolling. We'll read this passage with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted in him as a soldier. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of his crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So that spiritual person that brought you to the Lord, that spiritual ancestor, if you could trace the lineage all the way back, if you could trace the person who brought you to Christ, the person who brought them to Christ, you could trace it all the way back to the disciples and ultimately Jesus, couldn't you? Do your head just like this right here. Yeah. I'm coming off of 2 weeks of camp, so I'm excited. I'm energetic. If you know anything about me, I love to talk about God's Word and His Kingdom. Last week I was at Riverbend Men's Camp, and the whole theme was, it was rekindle your spiritual fire. We had Joe Hines there. We had Kendall Fall. We had Jim Book, and it was an awesome week. And Todd Fall all brought great messages about rekindling that fire that's within us. And we need to be reminded of the fire that we've once burned brightly inside of us, don't we? We need to be reminded of that fire that we had when we were a new babe in Christ, remembering why we're living this life. And remember, it's not about you. It's all about who? It's all about King Jesus. So if you could look at that lineage of people that brought you to Christ, that led you to the Lord, if you're a Christian believer, somebody had to share the gospel with you. Maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a coworker, maybe it was your parents that brought you to the Lord. But whoever introduced you to Jesus, they cared enough to share their faith with you. And then what we should be doing in turn is doing the same thing. We should care enough for the people around us, at our work, at our school, wherever we're at, in our families, to care enough about their eternal well-being to have conversations that are intentional. That's our purpose. Christians are the ones that stand in the middle between generations. And we need to teach and model this in our church. We need to teach and model this to our kids, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews, everybody that's around us. Our families need to know the hope that is within us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I serve at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, and we welcome into our family discouraged children. Somebody that, kids that need a family, or maybe a unique circumstance. And that gives them opportunity to change the trajectory of their lives. And that's the same as the church, doesn't it? That's the same as the church does. It offers. It offers an opportunity of hope and a change of direction. We can write a new chapter. When we become a Christian, it's like turning a new page of a chapter, isn't it? When you die to yourself in the waters of baptism, you arise a new creation, the scriptures teach. And in that, there's new possibilities, there's new opportunities, there's growth, and there's ultimately salvation. Amen? The first thing we want to look at in that verse, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, is as the things which you have heard. So Timothy was what? He had his ears open, and he was doing what? He was actively listening, right? So just like you guys are actively listening tonight, listening is a spiritual discipline. Anybody got a, who in here is married? Raise your hand if you're married in this room. Okay. Now keep your hand, raise your hand again if you could do a better job of listening. And if your spouse is next to you, they could probably go like this, right? Every one of us can listen better, can't we? We can all be better listeners. I know if you spend some time with my wife, she can say, yeah, Jason, he could be a better listener. We both like to talk. If you've talked to us very often, you know we both like to talk. I think Heather used probably triple the words I do in a day. But we still both like to talk. It's not an insult to her. She can talk a lot faster than I can, even though I still do talk fast. But every one of us could do a better job of doing what? Listening better. My mom says you got 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. Why? We should be listening twice as much as we talk. The listening, looking, right? You got 2 eyes, 2 ears for a reason. Looking and listening to the needs around you. Considering the opportunities. Considering the potential of, I could have a conversation that could be intentional in this person's life. Whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your coworker. Listen and look for opportunities to talk about your faith with them. So listening is a deliberate practice. It involves creating the space that you're fully present, active, and receptive. Has anybody ever done this where you're sitting there and you're supposed to be talking to somebody, you're listening to what they're saying, but a couple seconds go by and you have no idea what that person said. And they ask you a question. Anybody been there? I've been guilty of this. Ask my wife. I've been guilty of this plenty of times. But you're in this conversation. You either zone out for a moment, you're thinking about something later, right? But what does it take to be an active listener? You have to have full eye contact, listening to what that other person's actually saying, communicate with them so you're ready for a response. We need to be active listeners. And this doesn't have to be in a competitive way. It's a two-way interaction. Are you listening to what's being taught to you? There is so many, we are really blessed here at the Harlan Church of Christ, aren't we? With so many great teachers, leaders, and opportunities for us to be listening to God's Word. So many great classes, so many great teachers here that have been trained for years, and we need to be having our ears listening to what's being taught to us. And isn't it an awesome thing that we get to listen to this book, understand what it has to say for us? Now, we live in a world that uses technology, right? And I'm reminded, anybody watch Napoleon Dynamite? In that scene where Kip, he's singing a song to his wife, or his bride in the marriage. He's like, technology. It's a funny scene. But we live in a world of technology, don't we? A world of technology, a technology that we got Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all at our fingertips. We can connect with people all across the globe. We can sit face to face with somebody on a Zoom call across the planet, right? That's awesome capabilities. Lots of unique things. But what we live in also is an attention economy. What I'm talking about here is we have YouTube, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, emails, all these different things. But what are these things trying to grab? They're trying to grab your attention. Why do they want to try to grab your attention? Because it takes your time. And what you spend your time on, usually where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I think Jesus said that in his words, right? So usually when you spend, you have your attention on something, usually have your time on it, you're usually having what? Also involved, your pocketbook. Usually your money is involved there. So if somebody is grabbing your attention, whether it's the Facebook marketplace or whether it's some type of advertisement on a lot of different devices, a lot of these different apps, they're grabbing your attention. So then you spend your time on it, you've got your focus on it, and then they usually get your money. Okay? If you could look at a couple things about somebody's life, you could look at everybody's cell phone, look at what they spend their time on, and then you can look at somebody's checkbook and see what they spend their money on. You could tell a lot about that person, where their heart is, and where their treasure is also. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we spending the right attention? We spend the right time? We spending the right money on the most important things in life? It's a question only you can answer for yourself. Sometimes we need to learn to listen and pause. Remember, we're listening. We're pausing, we're thinking. Another phrase my mom always said, she says, you need to take time and smell the roses. Take time and smell the roses. What does that mean? Take time and smell the roses. Well, as you're walking along your path, stop, turn aside, and smell something. Like, it's not just all about smelling, but what is that teaching you? We need to sometimes pause, be interruptible, looking for opportunities to serve somebody else, but also not be so busy, we're so just whizzing past everybody else, we're not having a care of what's going on around us. We're just focusing on what's our attention focused on. We're just thinking about me, thinking about what my agenda is. And I think we can get sidetracked a lot of times because it's all about me. It's all about others and God. We can get sidetracked with so many different things. So we need to stop, listen, and be learning to live in the moment. But how much of a privilege is to get into God's Word? Anybody working through a Bible plan right now? Hopefully you are. Hopefully you're working through some type of Bible plan. You're looking at your daily in God's Word. Because this book right here you have in your lap or on your device, is the words of eternity. They're going to give you a guide for your life, going to give the words of salvation, and they're going to give you the path forward each and every day of our lives. So Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We attend, you guys right now, attending the Harlan Church of Christ Sunday night. But there's other opportunities to come and be a part of a service. Here, there's Sunday mornings, there's Sunday school, Sunday mornings, there's Sunday night, Wednesday night, as well as youth groups, youth rallies, summer camps, lots of opportunities to connect with other people. And what are all these events and all these opportunities driving us to do? Hopefully, to get us into this book. Hopefully, your purpose here is to encourage others, but hopefully this is driving you to get more in tune with God's will instead of your own. Right, all these opportunities at our camps and our meetings and youth rallies, all these are striving to get us to be people of the book, faithfully serving and listening to the words of God. Moving on to our point number two. In that passage it says, the things which you have heard in the presence of many witnesses. So Timothy was in church. He was not only pleasing God by listening to God, but he's also in church in the presence of many witnesses. And that's why church attendance is so important, because we're encouraging each other, right? It's important for us to gather together to glorify God. And that is the greatest benefit of church attendance, is we are bringing honor and glory to Almighty God. To glorify God is to think, to say, and to do things that direct the world's attention and ourselves to God and His magnificence, His power, His authority, and ultimately, His salvation. When we gather to sing, when we gather to read scripture, when we gather to pray together, we're telling God, you are the most important thing in my life. Amen? Hopefully your actions drive that reality. But the sad reality is that only 3 out of 10 people in the United States, this is a survey was taken in 2023, 3 out of 10 people attend church regularly. 3 out of 10. What does that tell you? Most people don't go to church regularly. So many people say they are Christian, may profess, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church regularly, but regularly for them is not every week. Maybe it's every 5 weeks or every twice a year, whatever that looks like. 3 out of 10 people do not attend church regularly. That's a sobering statistic, isn't it? But also, what does that tell you? The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Right? The harvest is plentiful out there, guys. There's lots of opportunities to connect with people that aren't attending church regularly. And it's not all about attending church. But that'll tell you a little bit about somebody if they're attending church regularly. Faithful church attendance is countercultural. It's going that way. That trend is going that way, whether we like it or not. But that shouldn't surprise us. Jesus was very clear. He says, you need to deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow me. We need to say every day, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34, verse 3 says that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And I am so blessed to be a part of the Harlan Church of Christ. You guys show love to me and my family. You guys show love to the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. We are so very grateful for the relationship we have with you guys. Church is all about community, isn't it? It's about connections. It's about relationships. And that's what this next verse is talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, a lot of times we focus on the verse 25. I want to focus here on verse 24 and the end of verse 25. It says there, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What does this mean? Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That means encouragement. Building each other up. Striving to do something together. So, if there's a singspiration or a perspiration night, right? What do we need to do? Get excited, be here, and encourage others to participate in that. Because that night is just as important as what we're doing tonight. Praising God is just as much as hearing one person talk about God, isn't it? I think praising God is an important reality in our lives, and it's a great opportunity for you to share your gifts and talents in song or poem or whatever way you want to do it. And then in that verse 25, it says, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is that day? Judgment Day. There's a sharp reality coming. Do you guys know that? It's called Judgment Day. And whether you are in the Lord or whether you're outside of the Lord, it's going to make a big difference on that day. So we need to encourage one another as you see that day drawing near. And like Hebrews talks about, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Right? And now is sitting at the right hand, the throne of God. Attending church is a biblical and historical pattern set forth by the first followers of Jesus. The disciples faithfully served Jesus daily, but also they came together once a week to read scripture, to break the bread, and to hear more of God's word proclaimed. When we gather together to worship God together, we're giving God the glory. Paul and the other apostles wrote letters that were actually sent to church communities to be read openly, publicly, to hear these scriptures together, to encourage one another in the faith, and sometimes even bring conviction on the people that were listening. And sometimes, don't we need to be convicted? I know I've been convicted through the several messages I've heard. I went to Hillsborough Family Camp a couple of weeks ago, and I heard 20 messages. God's word, proclaiming, be faithful until death. Man, that was a week I needed to be. And then last week at Riverbend, rekindle God's fire within you. Don't let God's fire diminish inside of you. Let's keep on keeping on. Don't we need to be reminded of these things? We all do. It's all about community. It's getting together, worshiping together, praying together, hurt when others are hurting, and then serving each other, loving each other, and being involved in the lives of those around us. Thirdly, this evening, we're looking at the things which you have heard in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust these to faithful men. Timothy was an evangelist trained by Paul, and he was reliable. Timothy was reliable. Now, it's been said, and it's painfully true, Rick brought this up this morning in our Sunday school class, that the church is only one generation away from extinction. One generation away from extinction. So if we would go away from here tonight, this is August the 3rd, right? We would go away tonight, and everybody would stop talking about Jesus starting tonight. stop talking about Jesus, stop being a witness in our communities, don't come to church ever again, what would happen to the community here in Bronson, the Harlan Church of Christ? It would cease to exist. It would. It would cease to exist. What's our job then to do? To continue on, to be faithful, and trust these, the faithful men. Just like men as has trained up leaders at past. You could go, Brother Orbeck was sharing this morning, people that trained him as a young man. He is training people in his, to follow in his footsteps one day. And who is going to be the next elder at the Harlan Church of Christ? Right? Who's going to step up? Who's going to be that next person to take on the reins of responsibility to shepherd the flock here? Only God knows at this point, but there is going to be some people from within that's going to do that in the future. So entrust these to faithful men. Timothy was reliable. We need to be people that are reliable, that we are accountable to each other and can be relatable to the people around us. Many godly and spiritual leaders of our day have abandoned the practice of one-on-one discipleship. And I think we need to get back to this practice of training future leaders, kingdom leaders of the church, not only of tomorrow, but of today. Training individually. And that starts with a one-on-one conversation. This topic is very important for us to soberly consider. We need good, faithful stewards of the king's bride. That's the church. Our church growth mentalities and methodologies, the things we do, are sometimes more focused on growing the crowds and growing the bank account instead of growing the maturity of the people that's within. I think we need to get back to growing and maturing the people that are within. And how does that start? It starts at one of those one-on-one discipleships. It starts with those attending those classes, being encouraged and being uplifted. You know, Jesus spent 3 years out of his life, 3.5 years of his earthly ministry with 12 guys. 12, right? 12 guys he was ministering to, and he was focused closely more on Peter, James, and John, the three. The greatest eternal kingdom legacy a preacher or an elder will leave in the kingdom will not be what he personally accomplishes in his ministry, but who he personally mentors and what they accomplish together. Collectively. So, it's not all about Dave as the evangelist here at the Harlan Church of Christ. It's not all about Rick, Gary, and George. It's not all about those guys. But it's about those that are growing and maturing daily. Every one of us has that responsibility to grow in our faith. Our ministry success should be getting deeper. Becoming more mature and growing in the grace that's within us. And it should overflow into our conversations. It should be a natural thing we do at work. We have a conversation with somebody, and we could say, today would be a great day to go to heaven and see somebody's response. Because you can tell by asking somebody a question, you can know about something about somebody else. If you could say, today would be a great day to go to heaven, right? You could say that. You could have several different responses. Either they wouldn't respond to you at all. That tells you, man, I'm not interested in eternal things at all. You could have that person say, yeah, it'd be a great day to go to heaven, right? That tells you maybe I believe in that. Or you say, well, I don't really believe in heaven. Then you know something about that person. They don't believe in heaven or an afterlife. You know when you ask a question, the responses of people, how you can proceed in that conversation. And every one of us has the opportunity to do this daily, right? It can be those little moments we can connect with somebody. And especially when somebody's going through a time of loss, or transition. It can be a good time to have a conversation with them. Paul entrusted his earthly ministry to Timothy in Ephesus. Elijah in the Old Testament entrusted his ministry to Elisha. Moses entrusted his ministry to Joshua. Throughout the ages, great leaders in the Bible and great leaders of the church entrusted and raised up good leaders to follow in their footsteps the stewardship of the life and the message of the hope of salvation that they had. And for those in the New Testament, it was the Christian life. And the people in the Old Testament, it was the Mosaic law, or it was the repent, the kingdom of heaven is coming, right? But they passed on the message for the next generation. Who are you training up? Just like Jesus trained 12, it's up to us to train a few, right? Even if you train a few, what can you do personally to invest in somebody else's life? What could you do that could make eternal impacts? That that one person could then bring one person. And then it's a compounding interest type of thing. You keep going, keep going, keep going. A disciple making a disciple making a disciple, and it keeps on going. Every one of us has that job. Every one of us has that responsibility to entrust to faithful men. And we serve a God that is faithful. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, it says this, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses' servant. What does that scripture teach us there? That God is a faithful God. Amen? God is a faithful God. And it says, not one word has failed. Not one. Moses spoke by the word of the Lord, and not one word failed. God is faithful. We need to be faithful as well to the promise that he's given to us and be reliable to others, that others can look to us. Like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say that about yourself? Follow me as I follow Christ. We should be challenged, I think convicted at times, where we can need to look around and say, what can I do to change my life to be a little bit more like Christ? We need people standing in the middle, ready and willing to dedicate their time and attention to showing the world the love of Jesus. Fourthly, this evening, we need to also, who will be able to teach others also. Timothy was qualified. It was also mentioned, I think, it's not by coincidence that this passage I used this evening, but Rick brought this passage up in Deuteronomy as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. It says, there's, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that he command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Every moment throughout the day, just like Moses was telling the people here, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. Teach diligently the words of the King. There was a missionary when I was at Bronson. He came and visited us, and he was a missionary to Africa. I can't remember if it was either Al Surhall or Steve Zimmerman, and he shared. I think it was Steve Zimmerman. He shared a message of that there is tribes in Africa that have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's tribes today that still do not know about the message of the King of Kings. And he went to a remote village one time, and he got to share the message of the King. And there was a guy that responded. He was so grateful that he said, he says, we love to hear the words of the God. There was a phrase he said, the words of the God. And he said, I do have one question for you. What took you so long to get here? And that was sobering for Steve to hear. Because what? That person, it took how long? 2,000 years from the time it happened, the time it was spoken, for the time to that tribe to hear the message of the gods, of God, right? The message that God had given them. And so that is a sobering thing. We need to be going out and sharing this message, because there's still people in our communities. Maybe they haven't heard the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe they haven't heard, or maybe they need to be reminded again and convicted again in their own spirit that there is a life after this life. So we need to teach others also this message from God's word. When we teach today, we may be tempted just to throw Bible verses at people, but that's not the best approach. The truth can be communicated, but it has to be in a relationship way, right? Usually you have to have a conversation and become a friend to somebody before you can have a conversation about eternity. Now, you can just throw Bible verses, and that does work at times, especially if the soil is ready to be received, right? We're supposed to be like the sowers goes out and sows on different different soils. Same way. But isn't it a good opportunity when the soil is ready to be received? And sometimes we can help that process out. We can cultivate the soil a little bit, get it ready to be heard. God has to do a lot with that, but we can help it along a little bit by our conversations, by our intentional efforts to care about somebody's soul, to have a conversation about their family, their life, and then you develop those relationships over time, and then you can have conversations about eternity. We need to actively invest into others and be sincerely concerned about their situation enough to have empathy for their souls. We're like on a boat, guys. Every one of us is like on a boat that's sinking. When there's people around us that are drowning, and we have the life-saving message that we can throw the lifeline. But what do we have to do? We have to be bold enough to go throw the lifeline. Go throw that life-saving message to the world around us. Jesus gave us the Great Commission to his apostles, and the same true for us today. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is a very important commandment, to go into all the world. Make disciples, baptize them, but also teach them. We need to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. It reminds us that we have the responsibility to help others grow in their faith. We should never stop learning ourselves. Never stop, I know everything there is about the Bible. I don't think so. Every one of us has the opportunity to grow. I've been studying the Bible for almost 38 years now. I didn't know it when I was one. But you get the point, right? Every one of us, how old you are, we've been learning the Bible for years now. But we need to get out and share it more often than not. We should be ready to help when others need to hear the message. We need to be ready to build up the body of Christ, encouraging each other as we're longing for that day that Jesus comes back. Because it's going to be an awesome day for those that are in the Lord, isn't it? It's going to be a great day on Judgment Day when we get to be face to face with our King if we are in the Lord. But wow, is it going to be a sobering day? Wow, is it going to be a dreadful day if we are not in the Lord? So I pray you guys sitting here tonight are in the Lord and you are encouraging others to do the same. We all need to stand in the middle, helping others get them closer to Christ. We have the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit if we're Christians. And we have the ability to teach. Every one of us has the ability to teach somebody. Whether it's one-on-one, whether it's a group of people, whether it's your family. Every one of us has the opportunity to teach. It may not be in front of a crowd like this, but every one of us individually has the opportunity to teach somebody else. Bring them to the Lord. Give them the words of the God. That they could have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." God's word should be it should be in our hearts so much that we cannot help it, but it overflows with our actions and our words. Richly dwelling within you. Does God's word richly dwell within you? Hopefully it does. Hopefully you're being taught by it daily. Hopefully you are living every day faithfully for the King of Kings. We are founded in God's word, in his truth. And we need to teach our kids to do the same. We need to teach our grandkids to do the same. Teach our nieces and nephews. Teach the families that are around us to be faithful and be part of the true family of God's eternal kingdom. So two questions I'm going to leave you guys this evening. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Because if you don't, we can make that right tonight. You can talk to one of the elders. You can talk to me. Talk to somebody about becoming a Christian tonight. Start that on the right path. But as I look around here tonight, I see many have already made that choice. Most, I would say, have already made that choice. So the second question is for you. Are you standing in the middle of others, showing them the love of Christ? Are you personally doing this? Standing in the middle, showing them a lost person, Jesus. Are you doing this? Are you bringing them along the path? Whether it's an intentional conversation, whether it's through your actions, through your words, are you intentionally doing this? Because if you're not, I challenge you, let's stand up and be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? There's a plan of salvation that God has given to us in his word. First, we must believe. If you've not made that choice to believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, you can make the decision tonight. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can make that statement of faith tonight. Then it not only starts with, it's not just a belief, but it's a repentance. It moves on from, I know that Jesus is God. I know that Jesus is my Savior, he's my Lord, and I need to repent of my past life. I need to repent of my sins and get my sins washed away so I confess Jesus publicly, but also daily through my life. That's confession number three. And then we need to be immersed in the water gaze of baptism. You can do that tonight. And I challenge you, if you've not made that choice, tonight could be that night that you make your Jesus, the creator of the universe, the Lord and master of your life. That relationship could start tonight. And then we, as the witnesses, would hold you accountable as long as you're a part of the family. And then we need to be faithful, every one of us, until the day we draw our last breath. Be faithful until death. And Jesus says, I will give you the crown of life for those who have promised are faithful. So if you need to make that as a choice, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you have a need, please come forward. We'll pray with you, pray for you, and have an opportunity to become a part of the family of God.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Let's all stand together.